Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're launching to near-Earth orbit on Dragon. Bob, what is Dragon, and what is the success for SpaceX? What is the notable success? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, this week, SpaceX did another launch. They're actually doing them almost more than once a week, almost. They're averaging about once a week, and they did what this was a cargo flight to ISS. It was a cargo Dragon spacecraft. In fact, it's the new version of the Dragon cargo vessel. It's basically a revision of the manned vessel. It gives it 20% more cargo space, and it's designed specifically for bringing cargo to ISS, but using the manned, modern, most upgraded version of Dragon so they can get the most out of it. But what was interesting about this launch from SpaceX was it not only was almost a weekly launch they're doing, but they were using for the first time since November of last year a new Falcon 9 rocket. Completely new. The first stage had never flown before. Nothing had flown before. And of course, the Dragon was also a new Dragon cargo. So it also had never flown before. And that just highlights how SpaceX has changed rocketry, because the news is not that they're free using their rocket. The news is that they're not. It's a new rocket. You almost sit there and say, well, gee, how can I trust this new vehicle? I'd rather have something that's flown a lot of times and is reliable. So, and it's interesting too, their success. Since that November 2020 launch of a new rocket previously, they've launched 21 times in only 7 months. Moreover, they've done now 17 launches this year, 21. And on their schedule, they have 34 more launches before the end of the year. That would give them 51 launches in this year alone, which would double, more than double the record they set last year for a private commercial company launches. That was 25. In fact, if you add in all the other American companies that are likely launched, there is a very good chance that in 2021, the United States could exceed the record of launches it ever did in a single year. That was 70, and that was set in 1966 during the height of the first space race. And unlike then, when it was all government launches, pretty much, this is all private launches, pretty much, and commercial launches for profit. So that's the story about SpaceX, John. It's a big success because they're just getting started.
Right.
We're only just getting started. That's the best part. In my just to give you a quick insight to understand, in my launch reporting, there are seven or so American new startup rocket companies that are all hoping to get their first launch off this year. They don't do it this year. They'll do it next year. And once they start revving up launches, the numbers are going to go through the roof.
Bob, this underlines the fact that you've been establishing for some time that when there's profit in it, there's speed in it. There's delivery. And there's innovation because you're in competition.
Yep. It's absolutely the case. I mean, I wrote a policy paper back in 2017 telling the government, advising the government, NASA, the Trump and Biden administrations and future administrations to no longer have the government build anything, contract it out, be a customer instead of a builder, let the private enterprise do it, and give it to as many private companies as possible, competing against each other on fixed price contracts. And basically both the Trump and the Biden administration are now taking those recommendations totally to heart. And this is what's happening. This is why things are moving. And, of course, a lot of the launches we're talking about are not government-related. And that brings us to the second story, John.
Axiom.
Let me segue right into it. This is Axiom, private company that is building modules to add to ISS, and it's also flying tourist flights into space. It already has a contract to launch four astronauts into space to go to ISS for a period of about a week in January. And SpaceX is going to provide the transportation and the capsule to get to and from ISS. Well, here's the big deal. Axiom has announced this week that they have signed a new deal with SpaceX for three more commercial tourist flights, three more flights. That's in, they already had announced the first passenger on the second flight, but now they're saying there are two additional flights. That's three. They haven't announced who's going to be on them yet. There's, of course, possibilities one of them will be Tom Cruise, but that's not confirmed yet. That's only been a rumor for about 2 years, and sometimes I wonder about those things. But nonetheless, just look at this. We have now a string. There is ample demand for those seats. This, Axiom wouldn't make this deal with SpaceX and its Dragon manned capsule if they didn't have ample demand and know they're going to fill those seats. And this is on top of two Russian tourist flights that are happening this fall and a private flight that SpaceX itself is doing in September, the first commercial flight. So this is going to be almost – we might be seeing almost monthly flights.
The demand is everywhere, Bob, because we're going to see a fashion for flying for space orbiting. It's going to be a fashion statement, yes. But people are going to be lining up. You can see people taking cameras into space to photograph themselves, giving birthday parties in space. There's no – and to what money can do when it's silly, Bob. And that,
you know, I just thought, John, this reminds me of the old ocean line days back in the early 20th century when you had the big ocean liners and all the wealthy people would get big cabins. And it was a thing to cross the ocean in these fancy giant ocean liners. You know, everyone had to do it. And that's really what's going on here.
And the White Star Line and all make money. Good for them. Now, a detail. We're turning to Sirius now. Pentagon looking at Starship for cargo. What, Bob? How does this work?
Well, all right. When Elon Musk first announced he was going to have SpaceX build this giant heavy lift Saturn V class reusable rocket that would be cheap, which would be upper stage Starship and lower stage super heavy. He said one of the potentials this rocket could give, since it's reusable and can land vertically anywhere on the globe, is point-to-point Earth transportation, both cargo and passenger. He said this was a possibility right at the very beginning. Well, now that Starship is going through its test program and is really looking hot, it's like it's going to happen any day now, or at least within the next year, the Pentagon, in the most recent Biden administration budget proposal, included almost $50 million to help develop the infrastructure it will need to use SpaceX's Starship rocket as a method to transport cargo point to point on Earth. They had $10 million, about $10 million budgeted previously, but now they've upped it fourfold because they really want to make sure they can have the infrastructure to take advantage of this giant rocket that can move 100 tons anywhere on Earth within an hour. And so they're in on it. And this is, once again, monetizing things because the Air Force doesn't own it. The military doesn't own it. They're buying the product from SpaceX. And so SpaceX is another customer for Starship. Doesn't mean they're the only customer. It's just another customer for Starship. More money to be made, more profits. It only funds further flights, Mars flights, the lunar flights, John, the whole ball of wax.
Back in the 1950s and 1960s, I wish I could remember where I saw, it was one of those ads in big magazines like Life magazine. It was about what are rockets for? What's the future? Imagining what we now know to be NASA. And there was a photograph, a drawing of a rocket landed, a rocket that looks like Starship, you know, that has the fins. It really looks like a Hollywood rocket landing, and soldiers were climbing down from the open hatchway to the ground. And the explanation was, someday we'll be able to launch our soldiers overseas to deploy them immediately. That sounds like what they're approaching, Bob, but that was 60 years ago.
Well, it's interesting. Right now, the Pentagon's only looking at Starship as a cargo hauler. But there is, you know, let's just wait and see where this goes. But the potential for any transportation needs is going to be there.
Right. If you can put cargo in a ship, it's just a matter of weight, right, Bob?
It's it's weight, it's facilities. You know, people have to have a giant cargo hold can hold like a giant tank, an Abrams tank. But if you're going to put people in it, you got to design the inside differently. But that's just a matter of time and modernization.
FAA doing the right thing for Rocket Lab. What is Rocket Lab?
All right, Rocket Lab is the small sat rocket company. It has a small rocket called Electron. It's flown about, I think, 17 successful launches over the last 3 years. They are the first small sat rocket company that's actually operational right now. Well, they had a launch failure in mid-May. The launch occurred, the first stage did everything it was supposed to, but after stage separation, when they ignited the engines on the second stage, something wasn't right, and the upper stage began to tumble immediately, and they cut off the engines, and it basically fell to Earth. It was a failure. And so there's an investigation by Rocket Lab right now to try to figure out what went wrong and to fix it. Well, you know, this is an American company, even though they launch mostly out of New Zealand and most of their employees are in New Zealand. They are an American-based company, so the FAA gets involved. And the FAA, reviews the investigation of Rocket Lab, and it is now announced that it has granted Rocket Lab permission to resume launches, even though the investigation is not complete yet. To quote Rocket Lab's press release, the review team is working through an extensive fault tree analysis to exhaust all potential causes for the anomaly, the failure, and a full review is expected to be completed in coming weeks, following which Rocket Lab anticipates a swift return to flight. And so the FAA has now said, yep, go ahead. We trust your investigation is going to make sense. And so expect Rocket Lab to come back to life very soon, and the FAA has approved it.
And, Bob, every time there's a rocket incident, the FAA is now like a plane crash. They're always going to get involved. Is that correct?
That is correct by law. In fact, the 2004 Commercial Space Act put the FAA in charge of such things. But the key is how they're going to interpret the law. Unfortunately, the bureaucrats have a great deal of flexibility. Each administration has a great deal of flexibility. It appears the Biden administration is getting the FAA more involved. But by law, they're supposed to be supervising such investigations. And it's not a reasonable thing, but hopefully right now they're not getting too obsessive about it, because they could slow things down to a crawl if they wanted. Instead, they're looking it over, and they said, well, you know, Rocket Lab knows what it's doing, so they'll let them do it.
New Zealand. New Zealand and Rocket Lab are in a dust-up, Bob, over what? Violations of an employment law? Is that right?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I saw two different stories on the same day from New Zealand and its government in connection with Rocket Lab, the same company, but the stories were very contradictory. One story was about how New Zealand's Employment Relations Authority had fined the company because it tried to fire an employee in a way that wasn't following New Zealand's employment laws. And they fined it, and they were very blunt and public about their criticism of the company in a way that surely sounded to me like they were trying to sabotage this authority, employment authority, sabotage Rocket Lab. So it's one side of the story. And the other side was a story about how the New Zealand government has apparently been working head over heels to help this so-called evil employer, Rocket Lab, help them bring over people they need on quick notice to do launches in New Zealand, and in the process get waivers to the very strict border restrictions that New Zealand has in connection with COVID. New Zealand is basically, in a sense, a prison state. You can't get into that country without 2 weeks quarantine and very strict rules. They don't want anyone in their country unless they're pure and clean and can't infect anybody with COVID. Yet,
that's an island, New Zealand government. Australia's the same way. They're sealed.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, and so, but it apparently, New Zealand has been giving Rocket Lab a lot of waivers in this respect so that people can come over for a 2 week period for a launch and leave, which would be the length of a normal quarantine. So I don't know. These two stories is almost like contradictory, and it does indicate to a certain extent the problem we have worldwide with law, because it's become almost like jello. It depends on what you politically want, and that's how you enforce the law. And so in this case, one hand in New Zealand's government hates Rocket Lab and wants to punish it, and the other hand in this government wants to help it and let it get by laws. Don't ask me.
We're going back to ISS when we come back. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF, and in Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.